What's up, everybody? Hey, thank you guys so much for joining us this week online. I know it's a unique experience, some extenuating circumstances that we have to take everything online, but we want to add value and encouragement to your life in these uncertain times. And so thank you so much for joining with us for church online. So we started a series several weeks ago called March Madness, and it was supposed to coincide with the NCAA basketball tournament. And we had no idea when we planned the series that the whole thing would be canceled. But it is. And so we considered, you know, what are we going to do? How are we going to handle this? And it's just ironic, isn't it, that we're still in the month of March, and there's still a great deal of madness going on around us. And so we decided we should continue on with the series, one, for a sense of normalcy. We want our lives to have at least some semblance of what they used to be. But also, I think there's so many things about that are appropriate. So we decided to continue our March Madness series. And so we've talked about several different things about how this tournament and basketball in general correlates to the life of a follower of Jesus. And today what we're going to do is we're going to wrap up this series. And we're going to look at three different things that are in basketball, again, that parallel or correlate to Christians, people who follow Jesus. And so we'll jump right in. I'll try to be brief because we want to give you guys an opportunity, if you're in watch parties or you're watching with your family, to have an opportunity at the end to discuss it, to spend some time really breaking down what it is, because if we have information without application, it's an abomination. So here we go. The first thing that we're going to look at today that you find in basketball that will parallel to our lives is what is called an assist. And so what we're going to call it is dropping dimes. That's a phrase that's used sometimes for people who make an assist. Now, if you don't know what an assist is in basketball, I'll kind of give you just a really quick overview. Essentially, it's when you have the ball and you pass it to somebody else so that they can score a goal, that's an assist. You pass the ball to somebody else, they score a goal, and you get an assist. They get the points, but you get the assist. And so I started thinking about the life of a follower of Jesus, this Christian life. Isn't that kind of what it is? That we are given the ball. God has put the ball in our courts. He's given us gifts and abilities and talents, and we're called to serve other people, to help other people to succeed, to achieve their goals. And so in many ways, the Christian life is really all about dropping dimes. It says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says this: as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. And so it says that each of us have received a gift. In other words, God has put the ball in our hands. He's given us talents. He's given us treasures. He's given us resources. He's given us insight into things. He's given us experiences. All of these things that God has given to us that we could then use to serve and to help other people. We can assist them to be successful. And not just successful in a monetary sense or in a worldly sense, but ultimately our goal is to grow in our relationship with God. So we want to help people to be successful in that, to lead them towards Jesus and growing in their relationship with God. And so when you look at a verse like that, you kind of see this very clear analogy. God has given us the ball and he wants us to pass it to other people so that they can score. We drop dimes. So that was the first one. It says also in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, just a kind of a reinforcement of what we talked about. It says, you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Through love, serve one another. Through love, pass the ball to each other. Share the things that God has given you. Help them to be successful and to succeed. All right, so that was the first one, dropping dimes. The second one is this, and it's what's referred to as a lane violation. You may have heard it referred to as 3 seconds in the paint. So if you're not familiar with any of these terms, no problem. There's a lot of technicality to it, but we can look at it in a very general sense. Basically what it is, in basketball, you have the goal, and around the goal, underneath the goal, you have this painted area. It's like a big rectangle. And so they added a rule in basketball that says you can't go and stand inside of this painted area any longer than 3 seconds. They want you to keep moving, to not be still, not to be stagnant, but to keep the game flowing and active and moving. And so as I was thinking about the correlation, again, all of these things clearly, you know, our goal here is to make parallels, right? So as I was thinking about the parallel of this 3-second violation and the life of a follower of Jesus, there's a lot of similarities. God wants us to keep moving. One of the things that you find very often in Jesus when he communicates is that the implication is that he wants us to be productive. He wants us to be fruitful. In fact, my favorite imagery that he uses is referring to us as trees or vines or branches, things that grow, things that move, things that change. This is what he wants for us, what he's created us for. And I love that so much because when you think about, for example, the church, when we started this church almost 9 years ago, we loved the idea so much that we incorporated it into kind of our mission, our mantra, our MO. The mission of Motion Church is to lead people to live and to move and to have their being in Jesus Christ. It's essential to the life of a follower of Jesus to keep moving. And going back to the imagery, the things that Jesus talked about that kind of reinforce this, it says in John chapter 15, verse 5, this is how he addressed it. It says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. You will grow, you will change, you will keep moving and progressing." And then he says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." And so I just love how when we're connected to and we're close to, we've grown towards him, we move, we change. And also, what again, kind of coming back to the idea of assist and serving others, not only do we change, but we also help other people to change. God leads us, and in turn, we're able to lead other people. And so at this point, you may be thinking, well, that all sounds really good, and it preaches really good, but how do I move in my life? How do I change in my life? And so I think there are several ways that we could do this. The most important aspect of this, as with anything that we talk about, is how does this directly affect your relationship with God? Because that's the most important thing about us. We can talk about our interpersonal relationships, the relationship with your spouse or your children or your friends or your employer or employees. All of those are important and they're relevant, but they pale in comparison to your relationship with God. So when we think about growing and moving and changing, that's the first and foremost. That's the thing that we have to dwell on and focus on the most. And so as it relates to that, here are some things that we can do to grow and to move in that area. Always pray. If we prayed about things as often as we worried about things, I think our lives would look entirely different. If we spent time praying and listening to what it is that God wants us, we wouldn't be so confused by all of the other voices that we hear and all the other opinions that we listen to. So when we pray, we're moving towards God. And as you move towards God, you're growing as a follower of Jesus. Read his word. God, it's amazing to me that we forget sometimes that this incredible instruction manual is right in front of us, and we dismiss it, or we don't make time for it, we don't prioritize it. So if you want to move, if you want to grow, if you want to keep your Christian life flowing, then you need to read, you have to read God's word. And so in a social sense, so that's obviously, again, first and foremost, but we also have our relationships, the people that we do life with, that we are in community with. Even though we're in a weird spot in our world where we have this thing referred to as social distancing, I have a recommendation. I don't think we should socially distance. I think we should physically distance. Now, don't be in close physical proximity to people, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't remain close socially. We have a responsibility to move towards people, to check up, to check in, to call, to challenge, to encourage. All of these things that God has given us the ability to do, we should continue to move towards people using and leveraging the technology that we have. You can still, you may not be able to go to their house, but you can still text them, you can still call them, you can still FaceTime. Apparently Zoom has taken over the world. You can use the technology that's available to move towards people, because we don't want to stand around and be stagnant and still. We're called to move. So that's the second one, is a lane violation. Last one, and I promise I'm almost done. You've probably never heard a preacher say that. The last thing is this. We're going to talk about the shot clock. Now, what's interesting about the shot clock is that it's not something that was originally built into the game. It wasn't part of the original design of basketball. There was no necessity for it. They didn't understand, didn't think that it would be something that would be essential or improve the game. So it just didn't really come into their thinking when they created the game of basketball. It was something that was added years later because it didn't have the sense of urgency that it needed. So they allotted each team, every time you got the ball, they gave them a certain amount of time to shoot the ball and try to score in that certain amount of time. And so what happened was, what it did is it created a tremendous amount of urgency for the players. They wouldn't just go stand around or just pass the ball back and forth and not really play with a sense of purpose or intentionality, because now they're on a time crunch. They have a very specific amount of time to do what it is that they have to do. And it should, the correlation or the parallel should be pretty obvious at this point. When you view our lives, when you look at kind of what it is that God has given us, this gift of life, it is very finite. It is very limited. We're not even guaranteed or promised tomorrow. And that being the case, knowing that we have a short window here, we have to play with a sense of urgency. We live with a sense of urgency and intentionality. We play with purpose. We understand that we're here for a reason. It may not be for an extended period of time. It may not be for a long period of time, but it is for a reason. And so when we play with urgency, when we live with urgency, it creates this thing inside of us that helps us to seize each and every moment and day. And we don't allow things to pass by. We don't allow moments and seasons to pass by because we're playing with urgency. James chapter 4, verse 14, it says this: "Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor here for a little while, and then you vanish away." We don't like to think about our own mortality. It's something that in many ways is kind of sobering. It's scary for some people. And that's not the point. The point is, or the raw facts are, the reality is that, look, we're all going to die at some point. But that's not the point. The point is, because we're going to die at some point, let's make the most of anything and everything that's in between now and that point, which we don't even know what it is. It says in the Old Testament, David said this. He's like, "Teach me to number my days." In other words, God, help me to remember that each and every day is a gift from you. And because it's a gift from you, and because I'm not guaranteed one tomorrow, I'm going to make the most of today. I'm going to use each and every hour, minute, and second to glorify you, to love others, and do all of the other things that you've called me and created me to do. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 and 12, it says this: "This is all the more urgent, for we know how late it is." Again, a sense of urgency, because you understand that the time is running out. Time, it actually says that time is running out. And then it says, "Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believe. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your deeds like dirty clothes, your dark deeds like dirty clothes, and put on the shining armor of right living." And I think what you kind of get here, you start to understand the reason for urgency. It's not to be in a hurry for no reason, to be anxious and to be worried and to be hyper for no reason at all. The purpose of urgency is just to remind us that we're here for a very specific reason. And that reason is to be the people that God has called us to be who it is that He has made us and created us to be. And when you see the urgency, you see it followed by removing your dark deeds like dirty clothes. Take off the old and put on the new. It says to put on the shining armor of right living. So urgency for the follower of Jesus, for those of us who are Christians, it just means that we realize that every single day is a gift from God. Every single day is an opportunity for us to be good stewards of the gift of life that He's given to us. And we're going to make the most of it. We want to seize these moments and these days because we realize that we're here for a reason, we have purpose, and we have meaning. And so that's what urgency is. Urgency is not to freak you out. Urgency is to keep you on task, to keep you on purpose, and to help you to remember every day, man, God has something for me today. God wants to use me in some way today. Maybe it's not even to my benefit, but He wants to use me in some way, maybe to serve somebody else, to help somebody else, to be a blessing to somebody else. Or it may be that God wants to do something in you that day, but every single day is a day for God to use us or to be part of our life, involved in our life, and that's what urgency is all about. We just don't waste time. And more importantly, we don't hold on to things that hold us back. I love how in Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about laying aside, throwing off, casting away every weight and encumbrance and snare and hindrance that would keep us from running the race that God has called us to live. And it goes on to talk about how in a race, if you're running a race, you know what the course is. You know if you're running the 100-meter dash, that you're running from here to here. You know exactly what your purpose is. So you run that race with intentionality. But you have to run it with a sense of urgency. You can't mosey in through or mosey through that race. You have to run it as hard and fast as you can. So what you do is you let go of anything that would keep you from being as efficient and effective as you can possibly be. And I think what God is kind of showing us through this is that, hey, let's get rid of anything, all of those dark deeds, anything that would keep us from being who it is that He wants us to be, anything that would distract us, anything that would steal our attention, our focus, and our affection. Let's get rid of all of those things and live on purpose. And that's what urgency is all about. So my prayer for us today is that, man, we just won't allow things to remain in our hearts that keep us distracted or keep us from becoming the people that God wants us to be, that we will lay those things aside, that we'll realize that we're here for a limited amount of time. Whatever that is for each and every one of us, it's limited. And because it's limited, we have to play with a sense of urgency. We also serve others. We drop dimes, right? We pass the ball to them so that they can score and they can be successful. And so that's one of the most important things that we can possibly do. And we don't stand around. We don't assume that everyone else is going to take care of it. Everyone else is going to be responsible. That we take our responsibility. We keep moving. We're not going to stand in the paint. We're not going to get a lane violation. We're going to live this life that God has called us to live. So my prayer for us today, let's lay aside anything and everything that would keep us from being who it is that He's called us to be. Let's pray. God, thank You so much for everything that You've done for us. God, every opportunity that You've given us. God, the love that You've demonstrated to us. You are so good. God, You're so much more than we deserve. And isn't that what grace is, God, that You give us Your unmerited favor? We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. We could never repay it. But we're so thankful for it. God, this morning I pray that we would take time, each and every one of us in our own way, whatever it looks like for us, to examine our hearts, to see if there's anything that's keeping us from becoming who it is that You want us to become, that's keeping us from growing, that's keeping us from serving other people. God, that maybe is keeping us from dropping dimes like we talked about. And most importantly, anything that's separating or distracting us from You. God, if there's those things in our hearts, that You would give us the boldness to lay them aside so that we can run this race that You've called us to live. Jesus, thank You so much for all that You do. God, we believe that even in the uncertainty and the turmoil that's around us, that You are God, that You are still in control, that You are still on the throne, and that You are not surprised or distracted by anything that's going on. And so, God, I pray that You would help us to live like that too, not anxious, not fearful, and not worried, but trusting and believing that You are going to work all things together for our good. We love You, and it's in Jesus' incredible name we pray, and everyone said, amen.
Thanks so much for joining us for the Motion Church podcast today. If you'd like more information about our church, visit motionchurch.com. If you want to contribute financially to what God is doing here at Motion Church, you can do that by visiting motionchurch.com/giving. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.